Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
After Zach and I bought our first home and got married, we were super excited to not only decorate it, but to put some of our biggest memories on our walls. So we went with Framebridge, which made it super easy to get our pictures framed from our wedding at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store. All you have to do is upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free secure prepaid packaging. Or you can also visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge customs frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships directly to your front door in days for free. Above our stairs, we put pictures of our babies, ourselves, and from our wedding, and we are so happy we went with Framebridge to do it. Anytime anyone comes to our house, it's the first thing that they notice. Not only is it easy, but it's also affordable to custom frame just about anything. They're very fair and transparent and upfront with their pricing based simply on the size of your items. There's a curated selection of frame styles that are all different. They have fast service, free shipping, and this is great for gifts. Your happiness is also guaranteed, so if you're not 100% happy with your pieces, they'll make it right. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Welcome to the Think Loud crew. Three moms getting real with parenthood, relationships, and the WTF moments of our daily lives. Today, Cheyenne and Shannon will not be joining us. Shannon is on set in Malibu doing her hairstyling, and Cheyenne's got 1,001 things going on because she runs multiple businesses. Me, I'm here today. My friend is in town, so I thought I would take the time to do a one-on-one sit-down with Zellian. Hello, Zellian.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I know you listen to the podcast, so I'm really excited to actually have you on here so that we can listen to you now. So Zellian and I met... How many, like, what was that, 2017. Yeah, it was December 2017. We were having a party here at the house, and my friend Bianca was like, hey, can my friend Zellian come? I was like, yeah, girl. And I met Zellian, and instantly, like we hit it off.
And then shortly after, I left.
Yeah, and then she left. She doesn't live out here. So.
Yeah, I moved to Orlando, and shortly after moving to Orlando, I got pregnant. And then throughout my pregnancy, I was like, oh, I saw R was pregnant too, and she was having a boy. And I'm like, wait, I'm pregnant with a boy too. And then we found out our boys were due like a month apart. And then we just reconnected again. And
the rest is history.
Yeah, basically. No. Yeah. Now we both have two boys.
Yes. And they're around like, well, I'm going to say they're still around the same age.
Yeah.
So can you just tell us about you a little bit, where you're from or like what you do?
So my name is Zellian Beckles. I'm from originally, I was born in Guyana. Then I moved to Barbados, right before I turned one. And so my mother's from Guyana, my dad's from Barbados, and my mom's parents are from India. So I lived in Barbados for like 10 years, and then I moved to Miami. And when I moved to Miami, that was basically a huge culture shock. Basically, so when I moved to Miami, I started elementary school, and with the elementary school, I got picked on all the time for having an accent. I remember going home crying to my mom like every day, like, can we please move back to Barbados? Why are we here? Nobody likes me. Everybody keeps picking on me for the way I say things. And I remember getting in trouble on an essay for spelling, because in Barbados, we use the British English.
Got it. So like in color
favorite with a U. Yes. So I got points taken off my essays and stuff like that for spelling color and favorite with a U. And I'm like arguing with the teacher, like, no, that's how you spell it.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it. But then I finally, I guess when I, by the time I got to like high school, things got a little easier. I think my accent kind of faded out a little bit. And then, yeah, that's about it from the beginning.
I like that. Just for people who don't know, where is Guyana?
So Guyana is actually in South America. It's the only country in South America that isn't Latin based.
Okay.
So it's like right.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, so it's right next. It's in between Venezuela and Brazil.
Yeah, I know. So I'm like really odd with maps. I love maps. So right. I know where places are, but I did not know that fact. And I now that I think about it, I actually know quite a few Black Guyanese mm-hmm. people. Okay, I just learned something today, or put two pieces together. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, because every time I say I'm from Guyana, they're thinking of French Guiana. And I'm like, no, Guyana in South America. They were like, oh, so you're Latin? No, like Guyana is literally like the only country. And South America is not like, it's more of an Indian base. So a lot of people from Trinidad and India.
Yes. That's cool. So you have a really cool mix. Something that you, for me, I don't normally or traditionally hear or see. I remember when I like, so seeing Zali and then I like saw pictures of her mom, I was like, where is your family from? Like, what are you guys? I'm so intrigued. Just because you have such a, to me, like a very distinct look. Like,
thank you.
It's a look to remember. So that's really cool. So now that you're based in Florida now, mm-hmm. how is that treating you? It's different.
I'm not really different because I'm from Miami. Like, mm-hmm. so I lived in Miami, and then when I turned 25, I moved to LA, and then moved back to Florida. Moving back to Florida made me realize how much I missed LA, because I didn't think I was gonna miss LA. I already miss it that much, but I do. But then after moving to Orlando, I ended up having babies, and then all my friend moms with the babies with the same age lived in LA. So I was just like, I don't have like a village.
Why am I here?
And I'm like, why am I here? And I don't have a village. So I'm like, always every time our Cheyenne has the event, I'm like, I'm coming. When is it? What are the dates? Because I need my LA fits or whatever. And then the kids are close in age to Zakai. Always ask for boss or rider. So, and he enjoys it. It's like a little vacation for him too.
Yeah, the kids, I get excited just because like there's a lot of girls around us.
Mm-hmm.
So I love getting the boys together.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
They both have very outgoing personalities. Like, so Zelian has the cutest little boys, Zakai and Shy. And Zakai is, him and Boz are the same age. And just seeing them interact really, really makes me happy.
I know.
And I'm, you know, I get to watch the boys online just through videos. Mm-hmm. And it's just always so different when you see them in person and hear them in person and embrace them and just like that warmth. So it's, I think you're a great mom.
I think like, you're an amazing mom.
Thank you. I'm like, toot our horns over here. Cause beep, beep. That was funny. Beep, beep. I was not expecting that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I'm trying to wrap my head around where I want to go next, just because okay. I'm like, how has your journey of motherhood been? Like, were you planning on having children? Were you like me and it just kind of like it happened?
Right. So I've been with my partner Shirley Berry for it's gonna be 8 years next month. Like on and off. I won't say really on and off because we've only been off like twice, but it's about to be 8 years. And like when we moved to, right before moving to Orlando, I was like, you know, we never had an oops moment or anything. Obviously, we're not using any protection. So I was like, okay, either I have an issue or you have an issue, but we don't know who has an issue. So he actually went to see a fertility doctor right before we left, and he was fine. So I was like, okay. But at the time, I was in the middle of moving, so I had just quit my job, so I no longer had insurance. So I was just like, okay, it's probably me then. So I was at the point where, like, okay, I'm about to be 30 soon. And if I don't have kids by 30, then, you know, I'm kind of okay with it. Like, I'm starting to accept the fact that, you know, kids might not be for me. And then
it's funny that you say that because I was the same way.
Yeah, I was getting to that point where, like, okay, I'm about to be in my 30s because I didn't want to have kids, like, deep in my 30s. Like, yeah. I want to have them, like, late 20s, early 30s or whatever. So then I was okay with that. So then I also, what happened is, when I was younger, like 18 and in my early 20s, I had biopsies done on my cervix because they thought I might have HPV or cervical cancer. So they had to do it twice. I had a 2 cancer scare twice. So they took pieces of my cervix to do biopsies on it. So I was always told, like, if I ever got pregnant, that I'll have difficulty getting pregnant. And if I do get pregnant, I can't have a full term baby. It will be premature because my cervix is not full.
You know, it's okay. Ever since I've become a mom and, like, I talk to my other mom friends or just women in general who've had, like, pregnancies, miscarriages, the whole shebang, it's there's so much more than what we are actually taught or, right, just, like, what's talked about. And I just don't understand, like, how things became so taboo when they honestly affect everyone.
Right. And then that's the crazy thing. So then when he found out his fertility is okay, so I'm like, oh, yeah, it's me. So like, maybe I can't get pregnant. So I was becoming accepting of it. But I always say, if I do have kids, I always want a boy first. And then if it doesn't happen by 30, da, da, da. So guess what? I was 30 and pregnant.
With a boy.
So I have my 30th, on my 30th birthday, I had my baby shower in LA I was pregnant with my boy. And guess the guy was, according to the hospital, he was 41 and a half weeks. When I gave birth. So I was like, he was overdue.
He was ready to come.
And I remember when, like, the whole pregnancy with Zakai, I kept telling my gynecologist, like, is my cervix okay? Is my cervix okay? Like, you know, I was told that, you know, I can't carry full term. So I was always afraid of having a premature baby. And so when I went to my 40-week appointment, she's like, you're still not dilating. I'm like, wait, what? They were like, yeah, we have to schedule your induction. So they scheduled it at 41 weeks, but he ended up coming... Well, 41 weeks according to the doctor, and it was almost going on to like 42 weeks with the hospital. But she was able to schedule it a little earlier because according to the hospital, my due date was further along.
Got it.
So I was scheduled to get induced on Sunday, and my water ended up breaking Saturday morning.
Aw, that's super cool. But a lot of people, like, their water doesn't break. So it's
I got to experience labor with Zakai, but he ended up being an emergency C-section. So what happens is... I started cramping, like feeling labor or whatever. So I went to the hospital, and I was so embarrassed because I went to the hospital with my suitcase all packed, came in there rolling it in, like, okay, I'm about to have this baby. And they checked me, like, oh, you're in pre-labor. You're not fully, you're still 3 centimeters. We have to send you back home.
It's crazy how they send you back home.
And I was so embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
And then I tested positive for that GBS test. So I was supposed to get like IVs and antibiotics to make sure it doesn't pass along to the baby, but what they don't tell you is it happens when your water breaks. So that's why I had to have the emergency C-section. So I went home and I'm just laboring all day, like in the bed all day laboring, and just kept getting intense and intense and intense. Mind you, I went to the hospital like at 6 a.m. that morning, and when I had breakfast, lay down, I'm like, what am I supposed to do about this pain? They're like, just take some Tylenol.
That's it. No,
by 10 o'clock at night, I was Shalik made me dinner. And at 10 o'clock at night, I'm still, it's like, I got a tense and I ended up throwing up. Mind you, with Zakai, I had severe morning sickness the whole pregnancy and whatever. So he was like, let's go back to the hospital. I'm like, no, they're going to send me back home. So I'm like crying. He was just like, so you're just going to sit here in pain? I was like, yeah. Mind you, the hospital is literally around the corner, like 4 minutes away.
At least the hospital is close to you. For us, like our hospital, the hospital that Shaina and I delivered at is like 30 minutes from here.
Literally 4 minutes from my house, like literally 4 minutes. And so I was like, yeah, I was in pain. And then I am laying in bed, and I'm like an OCD person, so I don't like messes or whatever. And I just heard a pop in my stomach, and I just got up and ran to the bathroom. And he was like, how did you move so fast if you're in pain? I go, I just didn't want to wet the bed if my water did. I'm thinking, like, you know, when your water breaks, you're thinking of a gush.
The mucus plug.
I kept seeing my mucus plug prior. So I was like, it's happening. My mucus plug is coming out. But then my water finally breaks, and I ran to the bathroom. And he was like, how do you know? You just like, I don't know. I just pee. So I stand up, and a little bit of water was just trickling down my legs. And he's like, can we go now? And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I go, yes, we can finally go. Mind you.
I feel for our men. The men be like, like, are you good? Are you not good? Do you want to stay in pain?
I was so mad at him because we did a hospital tour prior, and they tell you, okay, when you're in labor, pull up right here, valet, and we'll roll you in. He parked the car. And I had to walk from the parking garage all the way down to the women's side of the hospital. It was a long walk through the hallway. And he's looking back at me like, would you hurry up? I'm like, I'm in intense labor. Like, my contractions are like seconds apart. Seconds. And he's just looking at me, and he's tired, and he's mad, and he's just looking back like, can you hurry up? And I'm like, hello. Finally get there. And the nurse that sent me home the day before, she remembered me. She was like, oh, she was here yesterday morning. I remember her. So they were like, oh, you're still 3 centimeters dilated. She goes, but your water did break, so we have to admit you. So I was like, okay, mind you, I left my suitcase in the car this time. So they finally admit me, and my contractions were so intense. So they finally admitted me to labor and delivery, and it was like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then at 4 a.m., they checked me again, and they're like, you're 6 centimeters. I'm like, okay, I want an epidural now. Because you know, when I went to the birthing class, they were like, you know, it's good to get it around 4, 5 to 6 centimeters. You don't want to get it too early or too late. So I was like, I want it now. But my contractions were so intense that they have a very small window to give me my epidural because it was back to back, like seconds. And the nurse was like, told the anesthesiologist that like, you really have a short window to do this because her contractions are intense. And she stood in front of me and she was like, you could rip off my uniform, everything, do whatever, but you cannot move. So they did it and I don't feel the epidural kicking in. So I'm thinking, okay, the epidural is going to kick in. I'm going to take a nap. But the doctor comes in and she was like, oh, you're 9 centimeters dilated. Be ready to push when I get back. I'm like,
this is going fast.
Yeah, I'm like, I haven't, I need to take a nap. She looked at me and
laughed. She said, I need to take a nap.
She's like, you're not taking it. She's like, you're about to have a baby, sweetheart. You're not taking no nap. So this is 3 o'clock on the fourth day. So then I push. And when I was pushing, it was stressing Zakai out. And she was like, I can tell by the way his heartbeat is. He caught an infection when your water broke. So I had to, you have to do an emergency C-section and get him out. And I screamed and started crying. I was like, no, I'm not having a C-section. She was like, yes, you are. Shalika was like, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. That was not part of my birth plan. I have it right here on paper. Like,
I like it.
He was just like, it's okay. And I'm like, no. And I looked at her. I'm like, please, can I push one more time? She was like, would it make you feel better? I'm like, yes. She's like, push. And I push. And she's like, okay, you're done? And she's like, we got to go. And then Zakai was born at 6:06 a.m. That's how fast the labor happened. It was from 3 to like that fast.
That's fast. And you dilated a lot in that
time. Short time.
Did the epidural ever kick in? Or
probably give me another dose.
A cesarean thing.
Got it. By the time I got there, but I already had the epidural in, so they just did that. But it happened so fast that they couldn't even give me the medicine to block him from getting the infection. Because you need to be in labor it has to be in your system for at least 4 hours.
See, there's so much that
they don't tell you.
They don't tell you. And you I'm still learning as I go.
Because after I gave birth to Zakai, they took him the next day to NICU. He had to be in NICU for 10 days. And Sleek was like, who's to blame for this? Because is it your gynecologist or is it the hospital for not telling you that the GBS could be passed on when your water broke? Because they never. And he came with me to
Thank you, Shalik, for asking questions. He was like, sometimes guys, they just kind of like, he's like, okay, baby's here, mom's fine.
No, he was just like, somebody dropped the ball because he came to every single doctor's appointment and they kept saying, don't worry, when you get to the hospital, they'll give you the antibiotics to make sure it doesn't pass on. But they don't tell you that the antibiotics has to be in your system. For four hours. Not every woman labors that long. Some women labor in 2 hours.
Or if it's like somehow in your file. So if you do go early.
So that's what he was mad at. He felt that when I came earlier that day, they were supposed to, he was like, they should have admitted you and started giving you the antibiotics then. And then we would have avoided the whole NICU thing. That's what he was upset at. He was more so upset with the hospital sending me home. But he felt that they should have kept me knowing that I was positive for GBS.
Yeah. But this is. How long was Zakai in the NICU?
10 days. Okay. So then Zakai was born on Saturday. My mom was supposed to arrive in Orlando Saturday night because I was supposed to get induced on Sunday. So she got to the hospital at night. Zakai was already here, but two of my best friends from Miami drove up and surprised me in the hospital. So then the next morning they had took some tests from Zakai and the next morning it came back positive for your infection. So when it came back positive, they took him away immediately. But it was actually his pediatrician that came, because she's a pediatrician for the hospital also, and babies are born. So they had just walked out the room to go home and check on our dog, Coco. So I had to call him, like, hey, you got to come back. They're about to take Zakai away, like, right now. He was like, what do you mean they're going to take him away? I'm like, they're taking him to NICU.
Y'all, Coco gets to go everywhere. Like, we'll have to insert a picture of Coco. Coco comes on all the trips. She is on all the flights. Like, Coco probably needs a passport. If dogs could have passports, Coco would have one. She needs to start collecting her own miles. Yes. I really wish there were programs for dogs to collect miles, because you have to pay a fee.
Oh, no, she uses a service animal, so she flies for free. Oh,
well, then Coco just needs to collect her stamps.
So then he turns him back around, and then that happens. And then I'm like, okay with the, you know, they're telling me he has a little NICU, and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But then there's my mom in the background crying, like, you think she just gave birth to the
baby. Grandma's.
And then I was fine until they make you sign, you know, you got to sign the little consent forms. Like, if anything happens, da 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 da. And I'm just, and that's when I started crying.
Because I'm like, real. What do you mean?
But they're like, he's just getting antibiotics twice a day. It's penicillin. But it has to be done in the hospital. You can't go home and do it. So, but actually, NICU ended up being a blessing in disguise, because a lactation nurse came and saw me every single day.
Got it.
And I think after my birth, I was having the afterbirth preeclampsia. Because my blood pressure was still, like, always high after birth. So they kept me there for 5 days.
So you thought you were having a preeclampsia?
Yeah, because my blood...
What exactly? Is this high blood pressure, or...?
Yeah, the high blood pressure. Usually it's, like, if it's during your pregnancy, you have to deliver, like Beyonce had it or whatever. You have to deliver, like, right away. But I had it. The signs of it afterwards, like, my whole body was swollen. Aww. Every time they checked, my blood pressure was high. My veins kept filling. Every time they had to do IVs, I probably got pricked about 20 times.
Yikes.
I ended up recovering from my C-section pretty quickly, because I was going back and forth to NICU from my...
A lot of movement.
Right. So the NICU floor was 2 floors down. So it was always like, I'll push a wheelchair and get down there. It was a lot of movement. And then the lactation nurse was always in the NICU there waiting for me. Like, okay, let's... And mind you, it took Zakai like a month to latch on. Like, she brought me a nipple shield. It's like, okay, let's try this.
How soon did you start pumping right away?
Like, so what happened is, because he was taking forever to latch, and since he was in NICU, I started pumping to, like, leave milk for the nurses to feed him, because I was, like, strictly breast milk, no formula. And my hospital was very pro-breastfeeding.
Okay, that's cool.
Very big on breastfeeding. So, like, they had everything you need. I had a pump station in the NICU, and I also had a pump station in my room. So I didn't have to bring it down with me. They already had one down there for me. They had a cooler in there for me where I put my milk when I'm done. And then whatever. So she came and saw me every day. There's days when I got frustrated. I'm like, you know what? The nurse, I was like, just give him a bottle of my milk. I'll just pump. She was like, no, you got to keep trying. Don't get frustrated. Don't give up. So they were like very pro. Like, you got this.
I like to know that they were very supportive, because
there's a lot of hospitals that are not.
There are, and there are a lot of places where, like, you know, there may be a lactation nurse, but she just stops in. She's like, she might take 2 minutes with you, and, like, that's it. So I am happy to know that they were supportive of you in that experience, and, like, encouraging you to keep going. Because I feel like it's very frustrating in the beginning.
It is.
And it's so easy to just... You know, you have this picture of, like, oh, my kid's going to latch right on, or my milk's going to come right down, or, you know, it's going to be this easy process. And the reality is, it takes time.
No, it is.
And sometimes, like, you know, children, they're not only learning how to suck, they're figuring out their tongue.
Right, and they get super frustrated.
They get frustrated. Us moms get frustrated. And it's like, we do have to find our groove and, like, figure out what works best for us. Yeah, I really like knowing that they kept you going on your journey, because you now are, like, one of the best, in my opinion. Like, so Zellian, she has a pumping schedule and a feeding schedule, and she has done a really good job of documenting it. And can you tell us about...
So with Zakai, is what I learned with having Zakai was I went to, like, 2 breastfeeding classes while I was pregnant. And all they really tell you in breastfeeding class is, like, breast milk is better for the baby, and this is how the baby's supposed to latch, and that's it. They don't tell you about mastitis. They don't tell you about clogged ducts. They don't tell you about cluster feeding and all this other thing. Yeah,
I learned about cluster feeding.
They don't tell you about none of that stuff. So then I was like, I feel like a deer in headlights when it came to breastfeeding. So I had to like educate myself, and I started noticing little things, and which I didn't really document much. I definitely on my actual page, but then I ended up breastfeeding Zakai for, I pumped for exactly 13 months. The day he turned 13 months was my last pump session. Mm-hmm. And I nursed him to like 14 and a half. And then I had a deep freezer stash that lasted him until he was 18 to 19. Sorry, 18 to 19 months.
When I said she had a deep freezer stash, like she used to post pictures online. I'd be like,
where'd you get all that milk?
I'd be like, what are we preparing for? Like, I always had this picture. I was like, you know, if something goes wrong and like I can't produce milk anymore, I was gonna hit Zellian up because she had so.
I ended up getting a deep freezer. I think like milk. 2 months into like having Zakai, I was like, because our little freezer couldn't hold it, and I was like, we need a deep freezer. And he was like, is it that serious? I'm like, yeah.
Yes.
And then when I left, actually, when I checked out of the hospital with Zakai, they have a milk bank in the NICU room where you gotta go pick up your milk, and I had a huge container filled. With milk, they're like, yeah, this is all your milk. And I was like, I did not know.
You didn't even realize what you were doing.
I didn't know I had that much milk. So with Zakai, I ended up getting an oversupply. I had an oversupply, and then I ended up getting mastitis, which at the time I didn't know I had mastitis until I started Googling my symptoms. Mm-hmm. But I didn't go and get treated.
What were your symptoms?
So like one of my boobs were very clogged. And I couldn't, no matter what I did, it would, and it was painful.
And when you say clogged, it was
like a rock. It felt like a rock was stuck.
It's just like super engorged.
Yeah, like hard.
Okay.
And when you have mastitis, it's like your skin, your boobs will start to turn red. That's when you know you have the infection. It'll start to turn red, and that's how you know you have an infection. So like I did everything. I nursed Shy on that boob for like hours. I went to the bathroom and hand express. So with Zakai, I was able to relieve it, so I didn't go to the doctor for it. So then that happened. So then when you get my size, your supply ends up decreasing a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it started decreasing to a comfortable amount, so I never got it again. So then that happened. So now I was Shy. When I thought I had an oversupply with Zakai, Shy, I ended up having an over supply. I ended up checking myself into the hospital the day after Mother's Day. So Shai was born March, like a month and a half later. Because both my boobs were red and they were on fire. It was in so much pain. Like, I couldn't sleep. Like, my boobs were hard. I couldn't sleep on my side.
And even when were you able to nurse her pump during that time?
I did it and it was not going away. And it was getting worse. And I was like,
so
okay,
it's like an engorgement that just does not.
And both
leave.
My boobs. So when I got to the hospital, the second they pulled down my thing and they were like, can I take a look? It was like bright red. They were like, oh yeah.
Okay. I don't know if y'all have ever like been a nursing mom or that process of when you stop nursing, the engorgement that happens. Or if you have like a night out on the town and there's no kids around and you drink and you wake up the next morning and your boobs are like rock solid. Yeah.
It hurts. You can't sleep.
Hurts.
You can't sleep. You can't do anything.
It really hurts.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
After Zach and I bought our first home and got married, we were super excited to not only decorate it, but to put some of our biggest memories on our walls. So we went with Framebridge, which made it super easy to get our pictures framed from our wedding at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store. All you have to do is upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free secure prepaid packaging. Or you can also visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge customs frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships directly to your front door in days for free. Above our stairs, we put pictures of our babies, ourselves, and from our wedding, and we are so happy we went with Framebridge to do it. Anytime anyone comes to our house, it's the first thing that they notice. Not only is it easy, but it's also affordable to custom frame just about anything. They're very fair and transparent and upfront with their pricing based simply on the size of your items. There's a curated selection of frame styles that are all different. They have fast service, free shipping, and this is great for gifts. Your happiness is also guaranteed, so if you're not 100% happy with your pieces, they'll make it right. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
So recently when we went to Vegas, no babies. I didn't bring any pumps with me. And we went out one night, and the next morning I woke up, and I don't know how I was still sleeping because I literally turned halfway. Mm-hmm. Both of my boobs were so rock solid. They were so engorged. Yeah. I went in the bathroom and I had to walk so slow because that's just how much it hurt. And I literally felt like it looked like I had almost like a boob job because they were so full.
That's how my boobs look. Yeah.
I was doing everything I could to
on my chest.
Relieve myself. Warm water, compresses. I ended up having to order a hand pump from Target.
Yeah, the little $20
pump. I couldn't even get it started. It was so painful. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I had to get in the shower, run hot water. Yeah, I had to start nursing myself. Like, I had to physically start the suction process from my boobs because the pump, it was hurting so much. And then this is probably TMI, but I literally had to start relieving myself like that, because other than that I was crying in the shower. And I just know Cheyenne, Zach, and Shannon were like, what is this girl doing? But I ended up having to legit milk myself. Mm-hmm. Finally got the relief, and it was, your areola gets all lumpy and rocky, and you'll be like, what's going on? It just, there's a lot to nursing. And that's what I'm saying with
breastfeeding that I never knew. So I started educating. So with Shy, when it happened, I was like, all right, I know what to do. Yeah. I already had in my mind, I was prepared for breastfeeding with Shy. So I was so prepared that I ended up having so much milk that I ended up donating milk. So what happened is I had a deep freezer, and I ended up filling up my deep freezer with Shy within the first 2-3 months of birth. And I posted it I created a breastfeeding page. It's called Z Milky Mama, because I decided with Shy to share to create a page just for breastfeeding itself. And I had asked Cheyenne and R to hey, I have a lot of breast milk. Do you guys mind sharing this for me? And as soon as they shared it, my DMs were blowing up with I need milk. And it turns out it was a lot of black moms that wanted milk, but they wanted it from another black mom. So when I popped out, they were like, oh my gosh. And then
where have you been?
Yeah. And I just didn't know ship breast milk is super expensive.
Really?
It's
because you have to do freezing.
Because frozen breast milk is heavy. And then it's overnight only because.
Got it. Yeah.
But these moms didn't care. They're like, my kid needs it. And I think I end up donating at least probably 1,000 ounces of milk.
Oh, wow.
To a mom in D.C., a mom in California, a mom in Atlanta, one mom in Houston.
What gave you the idea of donating milk? How did that?
Well, I had so much milk, and I looked into donating, becoming a milk donor to donate to the milk, because my hospital is a drop-off for milk bank.
I like this hospital.
Yeah,
their drop-off seems very pregnancy.
Oh yeah, they have the whole women's center
friendly. The little boys.
So then I looked into becoming a milk donor, but what I didn't realize is an extensive process, and I didn't have that much time. And because with Shy, I ended up having an emergency blood transfusion after birth.
Yeah. Girl, your birth stories.
That one was even like crazier, yeah. So because I had an emergency blood transfusion, I couldn't go do blood work to become a milk donor until like a certain amount of time frame, because I didn't want to get the donor's blood.
Got it.
I needed my blood. And they wanted a list of every single medication you took, everything. And I was just like, I need to get rid of this milk now, today. I don't have this. So as soon as Cheyenne posted it, it turns out that one of the moms were actually in Orlando, because it was in the summertime. So one of the moms were in Orlando visiting Disney World. She was like, hey, I saw your post on Cheyenne's page.
Blah, I love blah. Knowing that this
And she was like, I'm
happened.
Actually
yeah.
in Orlando. Like, do you mind if I come pick up some milk today? I was like, can you be here within the hour? She was like, yeah. I was like, do you have a cooler? And she was like, yeah. And I ended up giving her like 100 ounces of milk.
That's quite a number of feedings. Too,
yeah, and then she was pumping
age,
too, but
yeah.
she was getting ready to go back to work, so she needed something to help her out.
Supply.
And that she told me to this day, she was like, my son loved your milk. He had no problem drinking it. And she was like, your milk was like accurate to the T, because I had labeled it. And she was like, I was able to catch up with pumping. So when I got back, when I went to work, I was able to catch up and everything. So she drove over to my house, picked it up, and she ended up giving me $100. I was like, no, it's free. I'm doing it. She was like, no, you understand. She was in tears. She was like, you understand what she did. The mom in California sent me a video of her literally crying. She was just like, I pray to God every day for something like this. And then she was like, you understand that you were like an angel sent to me. She was like, you really don't understand. She literally had me crying.
Yeah,
like,
just with the formula shortage that's going on and I have certain friends who've wanted to nurse and they weren't able to nurse. And sometimes it has nothing to do with the latching. Mm-hmm. It could be from stress. You know, your body can
stress
be stressed
does
out.
Does affect your milk a
You
lot.
Can be going through some kind of transition, which affects your body. You may experience trauma, which affects your body and your milk supply. And it's sometimes when you have those experiences, you may still be able to nurse, yet you don't want to transfer that energy to your child as well. I recently met a woman who was sick when she gave birth, and she was, I feel like she was in remission, possibly from cancer.
But because they have
but
all
it's,
this,
she
those
didn't,
meds,
yeah, yeah. She's going through all this medication, and she didn't want to pass it on to her child. But she brought up a point which I've never really heard of or thought of. She was like, I was looking for she needed a non-lactation nurse. Like a nurse to help her kind of, decrease her milk supply over time because there was nothing really for her. And when she was Googling stuff, they put the cabbage on your boobs, massage this,
milk,
do that. She was trying to dry herself out, but it took, I feel like she said it took her 9 months.
To dry up her milk?
Yes.
But Zakai, when I stopped breastfeeding Zakai weaned off on his own. So my pumpings I started pumping literally 1 ounce from each boob. When that happened, I'm like, okay, I'm done pumping.
Yeah, that's that was.
And then he was when he realized at that point he was getting more bottles. So he was like, why am I? No, I prefer the bottle because he probably wasn't getting much from my boobs anymore. So my boobs just basically just
we're tired, we're done.
And then shortly afterwards, when I'm done nursing Zakai, probably 3-4 months later, I'm pregnant with another.
Yeah, I nursed Boz until he was 26 months.
Yeah, long time. And I
stopped nursing in February and I ended up getting pregnant in March. Damn.
Yeah, you don't get a break.
You don't think about it that either. And I'm like, that nursing might have been saving me.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me, y'all. I'm not a doctor.
Oh, no. I got my period shortly.
Oh, I got my period soon.
Shortly after birth, 2-3 months in. I know people that are 9 months in, still no period.
Yeah. I meet those women who are like, oh, yeah, I didn't have my period for months after I gave birth. I'm like, how sway? Sign me up.
Literally 2 months after birth, I'm like, is this still post baby bleeding or is this no
bleeding? And I'm like, I'm nursing all the time. What
I was
is
a
it?
Serial nurser, so I was just like,
a serial nurser.
Yes.
For me, I was very thankful that I was able to nurse. I always wanted to be able to nurse my children. And Boz, initially, he would not take a bottle.
I remember that, yes. I don't know how you did that.
He would not take a bottle. He was like, nah, give me that warm skin thing. Like,
I want that.
I remember sending you a whole bunch of different bottles. Like, oh, these work for Zakai. You should try these. And you're like, nope, doesn't work. No, doesn't. I'm like, really? So what I tell moms that on my breastfeeding page, that I highly recommend introducing a bottle early. Mm-hmm. So like in the hospital with Zakai, he got boob and bottle. But it was always my milk. And I did the same thing with Shai. He was boob and bottle in the very beginning because I was like, I don't want any issues with him not taking a bottle. Because him, he don't take pacifiers at all.
Oh, yeah. When you told me that, I was still super intrigued.
Yeah,
super
intrigued. So I always highly recommend, like, you know, introducing, if you're going to be breastfeeding and then going back to work, to definitely introduce a bottle, like, in the very, like, first week of birth.
Yeah. Oh, know what I love? So when I say Zellian is very dedicated to her nursing, she was nursing, or not nursing, pumping. She was pumping on the plane.
Oh, on the way here, yeah.
Yes. Can you tell us about your pumping? Because I know you use an app. Like, what app do you use? Like, when you're using that app, are you tracking how many ounces? Are you tracking your times? Just tell us about that.
So I went to birthing classes and parenting classes when I was pregnant with Zakai because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so that's first.
Smart. I should have done that. I didn't do anything.
I went to parenting classes and breastfeeding classes, and we did the birthing classes. Cool. So they told me about this app called the Baby Tracker. Mm-hmm. So on there, you know, you customize it to what you need it for. So I can track his feedings, my nursing, my pumping, and it keeps, what's the word I'm looking for? The inventory. It keeps the inventory of my milk. So every time I give him a bottle, it subtracts it from my inventory. Every time I give him a bottle, and then I'm still using it now. So.
Yeah, that's how I was like. I just saw you pulling it out. I used to do that when I was firstly a new mom. I would track my, and I feel like I got the app from you.
Yeah,
like
I think you asked me about it. Yeah,
yeah, and I would track their feedings. Or I would track Boz's feedings and when he would use the bathroom, and now, and like in retrospect, like I kind of used to use it for like potty training too, because I would
I never used it for potty training.
Yeah, because I would keep track of the time, so I would say, oh, okay, you know, I started noticing patterns. Like if I feed you here, it's gonna take
hour.
You'll go pee here around this time, or you'll poop around this time. And dang, I feel like I should do that now because I saw this lady on Instagram the other day talking about how she was like potty training her 5-week-old.
I saw that the other day too.
Sounds crazy, but I'm like
pushing.
Yeah,
I actually posted that on my story. Talk about, what do you think about this? A lot of moms were like, "No, like let a baby be a baby," yada yada yada. And I thought it was crazy, but I heard of that method before. That it's called an elimination method or something like that.
Like I've seen it, and I have a friend who, when his daughter was a little girl, he would put her on the potty. And she pooped in the potty, but she was like 9 months or something. Yeah. But it's in different cultures, different countries, I know it is very common to have your child potty trained before the kid is one.
One, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is a very much like an American thing where it's like, yeah, my kid is 3 and still not potty trained. And I'm like, oh, no judgment.
Well, I know some 4-year-olds that are still not potty trained.
Yeah, at that point I'm like, you can talk, you can communicate, if you can comprehend what's going on, you can walk to the toilet, like you're gonna use the toilet.
There's some moms that think they would just do it when they're ready. I'm like, okay, keep believing that, because no, they're comfortable in the pull-ups. That's what you're making them even more comfortable.
Yeah,
I was very big, like I was trying to get Zakai potty trained before the age of 2, but it was not.
And it takes time.
It takes time and a lot of patience.
Yes, lots of patience, and you need cleaning supplies. Because for me, what worked was I literally committed to like maybe like a week of just Boz being in undies, and just, you know, I kept putting him on the toilet. But there were times where we'd have accidents, and he'd be like, "Oops!" You just gotta clean it up. But you need them to feel that sensation. You need them to feel that discomfort and be like, "Oh, this is what it feels like when I'm eliminating. Like, let me do this in the toilet." So yeah, I feel like Mezier and I got really lucky with Boz. Like we were both.
Yeah, you did.
I was
hitting you up for potty training. I'm like, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
With Zakai, and what I learned with Zakai, and that's just Zakai in general. He does things when he's ready, and when he was ready, it was like I got it. Easy. But because we just kept on introducing it to him, and what I did in the beginning was a potty watch, so it will go off every 90 minutes, and he knew when he's like, it's time to potty. My watch is going. He would just run to the bathroom, and he would just always let something out. Like, then we went to pull up, so teaching him how to pull it down and pull it up, and then the underwear thing was stressing me out because he kept having accidents everywhere. So I was like, forget the underwear. And so what we did was free ball.
Because he said no underwear, just get in.
So when he was free ball, he felt like he had to go, he had to go to his little party. And then one day I called his teacher, and she was like, I told her, I go, I think I want to send Zakai to school in underwear, but I'm kind of scared. But his teacher was like, do it. She's like, bring it out. She's like, just bring a few extra underwears. Yeah. And we got this. Mind you, she has three boys. She's like, she raised three boys. And that first week of school for Zakai, he had zero accidents. And
I remember this, yes.
Yeah, and I took him excited to get ice cream on that Friday. I was like, that. And then stickers worked for him. Like, you give him stickers. And I always gave him a gummy mm-hmm. every time he went to the party at home. But the gummy was actually vitamins. So he never knew that. Yeah, and then by the time on his third birthday, he was fully potty trained. Like, that's when he started wearing underwear overnight.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, when I was starting to do the school applications, and daycare is like, there's some places that allow your child to not be fully potty trained. And then there's some places where it's like, when your kid, you know, the entry level is 2.5. And they'd be like, your kid needs to be completely potty trained, like peeing and pooping. Like, they need to be able to wipe. And I was like, what 2.5-year-old is legitimately like wiping themselves? I was like, my kid's not going here because I just feel like you let kids be dirty.
Right.
That was my thought process. I'm like,
no. Zakai's classroom, I could say, because there's like a whole bunch of classrooms. His teachers are amazing. Like, they are really good with potty training and sending them on a schedule. Like, okay, they just had lunch. Let's potty before you go to nap. As soon as they wake up from nap. And they have a schedule to the point where like 90% of the kids in the class are potty trained now. Because
that's good.
And there's like, so they have like a joke that they say, talk about, come to our class and we'll save you 15% on diapers or something like that.
Man, diapers are expensive. Yeah. I feel like the price of diapers recently went up too. Like,
Everything went up since the pandemic.
Yeah, since the pandemic. And I'm like, before it'd be like, hush, shy. Like, I got to pay for it, like $50 for this box of diapers. Mm-hmm. Now I swear it's like $65. And I'm like,
even at Costco stuff, it's not even that cheap.
Yeah, anymore. I'm about to be like my good sis who was training her 5-week-old. Is that here? Are you ready to start potty training?
Yes.
Yeah, because like when I was talking to my grandmother about it, I feel like she possibly had someone who helped teach the girls how to do potty training. Because she was like, you know, I was a single mom of three, you know, back-to-back babies. Oh, yeah. I was not going to sit here and do all those diapers. The girls needed to learn how to use a bathroom. I'm like, okay.
That's how Shalik's mom was when Zakai was like 1.5. She was like, he's still in diapers. So her, like, you know, the old school method was like, we're not paying for diapers after the age of 1. She was like, Shalik and Malik were out of diapers by like 1.5. I'm like, how? Like, yeah. And they're exactly 3 years apart. I'm like, how?
Hey, mom, when was I potty trained?
She has two. Girls are easier.
Yeah. I don't know, but. Yeah, I was walking at 8.5 months.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully I was potty trained.
Really? Zaire is following you.
Yeah, Zaire wants to walk, you guys. He'll be 7 months tomorrow, and this little boy literally thinks that he's one of the big kids. And he started crawling last month. So he's crawling. He's now, like, he pulls himself up. He pushes himself up.
He couch cruising already.
Yes, and he'll like take his side steps. Like if there's something for him to hold on, he'll just make his way around, and he's chilling. So I want to be one of the big kids so bad.
And Shy was like, "No, I'm just gonna be a baby because Shy's 14 months and he refuses to walk. He won't even take not one step. He's like, no.
It's okay, Shy. We're gonna get there.
He's like, leave me alone. This is what I want to do.
I love it. How is it? So you mentioned traveling with the kids. How is it traveling? The difference between traveling with one versus two? Do you see a difference?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. I mean, I feel like, you know, and it's funny people say this, like they say the more kids you have, the easier it gets.
What?
No, they do say that. And I thought that was the craziest thing I've ever heard.
What?
No. But after having Shy, I do feel like things did get a little easier. Like with Zakai, I always struggle leaving the house on time, making it to appointments on time. With Shy, I'm like, okay, we have to be here at 12 o'clock. Ding dong, we're here at 12 o'clock.
Got it. It was just practice.
Yeah, it's just like already, like, you know, people say it. I thought it was crazy, but it does make sense. And then I flew with Zakai by myself only twice, but now I don't know how you did it, but I don't think I could fly with two kids.
I prayed, cried.
And that was a long flight too. It wasn't like
it was a 5-hour flight. Yeah,
flying with them is pretty easy. It's just flying from Florida to LA. It's like, what am I gonna do for 5 hours?
It's hard. Like
when we flew,
it's
here,
doable.
Yeah, it's doable.
But it's like you have to, at this point, like if I were to give tips on flying with kids, like if you can do a red eye, do a red eye.
I'm doing the red eye back and then the early morning flight.
Or if you do like an early morning, that way you kind of want to match it with when your kids are sleeping. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like you're screwed.
Like when we flew here for your baby shower in September, Shy was, he had just turned 6 months, I think, for your baby shower. And both Zakai, we did the early flight here, and both Zakai and Shy slept the entire flight. The hard part was going through TSA.
Yeah.
Because mind you, we also fly with the dog, so everything has to come out. So the dog has to come out the bay, the baby has to come out the stroller, and everything has to go on the belt. So we were struggling on our first flight with this TSA. But I also tell a lot of moms, like, if you're planning on traveling a lot, get a doona.
Are great.
I know it sounds expensive, but it's definitely, like, I only use my doona for, like, you use yours every day, but I literally only use my doona for traveling, because at home I have a stroller system for both kids. So my doona, I pull it every time it's time to get on the flight, just pull that out, and I highly recommend it. And then Zakai, that's one less thing I have to worry about, because he likes pushing his brother.
Oh, my gosh. Literally, one of my favorite features about the doona is the adjustable handbar. I was going to call it
taller friendly. Yeah.
It is so taller friendly. Now Boz is like, oh, let me push my brother. And it's great because Boz is also like in this running phase where like he wants to run away. So rather than me trying to fight him, I'm like, oh, no, Boz, come on, come push your brother. Like, he's always like, mom, make this shorter. Make this my size. So I'm like,
yeah, okay, Zakai's like, mama, it's too big. And then the thing is, Zakai don't let anybody push the doona but him. Like, no one can push the doona but him. So it keeps him close to us throughout the airport. We don't have to worry about him running away or anything, because he has to push his stuff. Like, it's definitely worth it if you plan on traveling. And so, yeah, I did pump on the plane here for the first time. So what happened is when the flight took off at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I pump at 6:15. So usually when I travel, I will change my feedings to make sure I pump either before the flight, or I'll go to a lounge at the airport. Or, you know, the airport have these little mom things now where you can nurse and pump. But this flight, since I'm like so far into my breastfeeding thing, I can't really change it anymore. So I have to stick to that strict schedule. So on the plane, as soon as we got on the plane, you know, my mothers and kids get to board already. So I got there, got everybody settled, plugged up my pump and everything. So when it was time for me to put the baby to sleep, so when it was time for me to pump, I just put the flanges in, hook it up, and that was it. So the baby, Zakai went down, Shy went down, and I pumped for like an hour because I had to pump enough milk for his bottle that night, and that was it. And I had my little bag.
So you pumped for an hour? In that sitting, you were pumping for an hour?
That sitting, yeah.
On average, how long do you normally pump?
So it was like in the very beginning with Shy, I used to get 17, 18 ounces in 20 minutes. And the thing is, I could have pumped more milk, But in 20 minutes, I was getting that much, and I just stopped it. So that's how I ended up getting, like, my mastitis. Yeah. I was still getting more. I was like, but I already filled up two big bottles. I don't need any more milk.
That's a lot of milk, y'all.
Yeah, so I was like, that's I don't need any more milk. So I ended up getting mastitis, and then it kind of decreased. And then what I tell a lot of moms is you get the most milk between 1 and 4 a.m. You just see, like, a flow. Like, and I used to get, like, 18 ounces in 20 minutes at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. And then, so then I created a schedule with Shy where, you know, I wanted to enjoy certain things. Like, I wanted to have a drink. I wanted to eat ice cream because, you know, ice cream used to give them gas. Like, anything dairy would give them gas. So I stopped nursing at a certain time. So I give my, I have a 12-hour window to, like, enjoy.
That's smart.
What I want. So I stopped, like, I stopped nursing Shy by 5 o'clock. And I don't pump until, like, 5:30, 6. So I get 12. So, like, at 7 o'clock, I'll have wine. I mean, a glass of wine or a drink with my dinner. And I don't ever have to worry about it affecting Shy or being in my milk. Because by the time I pump at 5 a.m., that drink is, like, gone. Yeah. So, yeah, I created that schedule. And then since I don't pump and nurse that off anymore, I have to get enough milk for his bottle on trips. I have to pump, like, an hour. But when I get back, I'm planning on reducing it and winging off the pumping completely. So when I get back, I'm going to drop down to 45, then 30, then 20, and then done.
Cool. Did you go through did you try a bunch of different, what's it called, pumps? Or no. Did you were like?
I just stuck with them. So by the time I had Shy, Medela came up with that new freestyle pump that had a stronger suction, which I did notice the difference between that pump and the old one that I had with Zakai. Because, like I said, I was getting, like, 18 ounces in, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's, y'all, one of Jesus, 20 ounces. Like, I know a lot of moms who will pump for, like, 30, 45 minutes, and they'll maybe get three to 6 ounces. Yeah. So it's crazy.
And I was stashing all that milk, so every day I was putting away, like, I'll do, like, 5 ounces at a time. So I was stashing away, like, 4 bags of milk a day.
That's a lot.
In the freezer because I was.
That's a number of feedings, like.
Right. And that milk that I was pumping, it was just a stash. It was not given to Shy because I was nursing. I said with Shy, I was going to be nursing more and pumping less because I pumped a lot with Zakai and I didn't want to pump that much. So I only wanted to pump once a day with
Shy. You have a. So my cousin Paige, she teases me too because, well, there was one time she was here and I pumped and it was like a good 17 ounces.
Oh, yeah. I remember you posted that. And you're like, she was here.
I literally just poured them in mason jars because I didn't have bags at the moment. And I was like, I got all this milk. Like, what am I going to do?
Second
yeah. And she's always teasing me like, girl, you're going to be able to pump so much. Or like, you can feed 2 kids. So I know Zelly and I, we both have our 2 boys. Like, we secretly both kind of want girls.
Yes.
But part of my fear is if I get
3 boys
pregnant again, it's either gonna one be another boy or it's gonna be like twin girls, and then I'm gonna be
that's
like,
my fear too.
But guess what? We will hopefully our
I don't know, I'm not having kids after 35, so it's gonna happen. It has to you know like, me, I need to be careful of what I'm saying because every time I say stuff like that, watch me end up being 35 and pregnant. So I need to stop putting that in the universe now because I end up being 30 and pregnant with Zakai.
It's going to be 35 and pregnant with twin girls.
Because twins do run on Shalik's side of the family.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a twin?
No, but his brother had twins. So that's why I think he's not going to get it.
Oh, I don't know.
He had a boy and a girl twin.
I don't know.
And his dad had a set of twins.
Oh yeah. So there's twins over there.
Yeah.
There's twins. Okay. Let's wrap this up. So at the end of every episode, we either give advice or we do like a WTF moment, our WTF of the week. You can choose. Do you want me to go first? You want to give yours? Okay. I'm going to think of my WTF. First of all, it's just really been a... It's been a crazy week. I'm trying to think of what's going on, what I can actually share versus what I can't share. Just pray.
Yes.
Pray. Pray for all the mothers who are trying to feed their children and figure out formula. Like, I've recently gone, because I nurse and I also give Zaire formula because I personally don't like pumping.
I don't like the machine aspect. It really bothers me. I don't know why. And I've tried hand pumping, but it's just like, I don't have time for that. And it's so time consuming. And it's like my patience just, I would rather give it to my kids than myself in pumping. So please, I've been to a Target and a grocery store to go get formula. And when I tell you the shelves are literally bare. So check on your mom friends, check on your dad friends, check on any of your friends who have young children, because, you know, you never know what's going on. And I know a lot of people who have been affected by formula. I know a lot of people, there's been quite a few people who've actually reached out to me like, hey, are you nursing? Are you sharing your breast milk? Are you pumping? And sometimes like I genuinely really feel bad because I don't pump and I'm not like packing bags, you know? And recently I've been thinking like, do I do this? Do I not do this? But it's, you know, it's.
I did have moms reach out to me recently. So I actually tried to increase my supply to like donate milk to moms, because I don't, you know, I like donating milk. Mm-hmm. But my boobs were just like, this is all I got.
Yeah. And it's like, even if you're in a grocery store or any kind of, you know, store, and you see formula and you know your friends are nursing or feeding their child, give them a call. Call them and say, hey, I see this box of formula, this canister. Do you need it? Like, be that person to help, just, you know, sometimes buy it and drop it on by, because we need it. And also, when you have kids, you can't always go to the store. Like, it is so hard going to the store and things aren't always available on Amazon.
Yeah, check, like, Instacart
has it, but they are taxing. Really, really toxic. So if you just happen to be in a grocery store and you know have friends with young kids and you see formula, just give them a call and say, hey, do you need this? Like, I got it. It's been really nice. Like, we've had like a nice little network of like moms and dads out here. We've all just kind of been looking out for each other. So it's like, you know, Cheyenne, if I'm somewhere, most places you can only buy two at a time. Like, I'll get one for me, one for her. I know. I've had a few other friends reach out and I'll be like, hey, I'm at the grocery store on so-and-so. I can't buy anymore, but like, they are here, you know?
There's also groups. There's a lot of moms actually out there donating breast milk too, like, because of the formula shortage. It's all over Instagram. There's groups on Facebook. I had posted one on my Instagram there. You drop your location and they'll tell you like, hey, I have 100 ounces I'm going to give away. Or
good.
There's a lot of...
So it's good to see that, people are coming together to, you know, find different solutions. And also, just want to, we'll cover this in next week episode with Cheyenne and Shannon, but I just want to put a prayer out for the families that have been recently affected by gun violence. And just, you know, I cannot imagine what they are feeling and what they are going through. But there are a lot of, mom demands. I'm going to post the page. I'm going to send it to Maria so we can include it in the bio. Just to help sign petitions, to call legislation, to make stricter gun laws and policies, and just to do your part. Because sometimes we don't always know what to do. But there are nonprofits, that are organizations that are doing their part, and they need us to rally up and, you know, do our part as well. So I will include some links below, just so that we can do our part, so that we can keep our children safe and in our communities and in our schools. So other than that, Zellian, you got something for us?
Are we allowed to curse or
we say everything on here.
Well, a moment that I was saying, like, versus Kai was like school not too long ago, I get a text from his teachers after picking him up saying that he told a student to sit his ass down with a serious face, and Shalik was driving.
Yo, Sakai is the sweetest little boy. I'm trying to imagine him like even saying those words, like,
and I show the text to Shalik, and Shalik just busted out laughing. I go, well, Shalik, they want to see you at the school tomorrow. So Shalik goes and drops him off and the school the next morning, and he was just like, oh, so, you know, what happened? And they're explaining to him what happened, like, oh, you know, so-and-so needed to sit down and he didn't want to sit down. And then Zakai was like, Masaz, sit your ass down. And Shalik was like, well, he did the right thing. He sounded like that was, he goes, and he go, but the, he said it at the right time. And he goes, yes. Like, there's only one time. There's only one time and one way you can say that.
Yes.
And he goes, and the teachers were like, well, yeah, he did need to sit down, but Zakai didn't have to say it like that. And we get in the car, we're like, Zakai, what did you tell Masai? He's like, he didn't want to repeat it, but I just, we couldn't, we just busted up. We weren't even mad at him. Like, we just couldn't stop laughing.
I love those moments where you like, yeah, kids will say a bad word or something, they use it in the right context, and you're like, dang, yeah. Okay, I guess they comprehend what it means. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're like, no, don't say that, but like, good usage. No.
Technically, ass is not a curse word, technically.
Yeah, it's an animal, right? Donkey. Yeah. No. Sit that donkey butt down. No. Oh my gosh. Okay. That, I think that actually is really funny. Kids cussing. Like, yeah, kids are hilarious. I love our kids. Yeah. I really, really, truly do. Well, I'm so happy that you were able to join us this time. And we were able to do this in person.
Yes, yeah,
so
thank you for
versus
having
online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I should be back soon, I guess, for, like, the wedding.
Yes. We'll have to do something else at that time. We can dive into some other subjects. We'll do when we have Shannon
and babies.
Yeah, it's literally sex after babies, like even just like parenting and adjusting from family life and how to like almost like start
maintaining your relationship.
After. Yeah, how to rekindle or how to maintain, how to spice up, how to develop what that family unit looks like. And that could be, you know, date nights, can be little, you know, figuring out when the nanny can come. You know, there's all kind of things that we can do to spice it up. I think we just need to sit down and talk about it some more.
Because you would be surprised how many, like, moms or, you know, couples are, like, struggling or trying to figure out a balance, because I know I am.
Okay, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it off camera right now because we're friends. But we'll do another episode especially for that, because I think it is something that is very important. And I know we've talked about getting a sex therapist or, like, I think that'd be a good episode where we can do that, because sometimes I know sex after babies is hard, and that can be hard. That can be difficult on the moms and on the dads for a multitude of reasons. So I love that. And thank you for sharing with us your story.
And
we'll see y'all next week. Don't forget to comment, like, subscribe. You can find us on YouTube and on Instagram at Think Loud Crew. You can also find us, Think Loud Crew, on your favorite podcast platform. And my name is R, and you can find me at R Kylan. And Zellian, will you give us your Instagram handles?
Yeah, so my name is Zellian, Z-E-L-I-O-N, and you find me on fancy_07, or my breastfeeding page is Z Loki Mama.
Yay! Thank you. Bye. Peace out.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.